Welcome back to the House of Wellness. I'm Larry Emder with Michelle Bridges and Gian Rooney. Hope you're enjoying the program today. Well, on the line with us now is Bianca Chatfield. Bianca's a remarkable Australian for a number of reasons. First of all, she's had a very impressive career as a professional netballer. In 2001, at just 18 years old, Bianca became one of the youngest ever netballers to play for Australia. From there on, there was no stopping her. Bianca's the former vice-captain of the Australian Diamonds. She's won six premierships, and Bianca's a Commonwealth Games gold and silver medalist. Now, at the end of last season, Bianca said goodbye to professional netball, but she's still super-duper busy. Bianca's now turned her attention to a very interesting new venture, helping shape Australia's next leaders. And Bianca's on the line. Good morning, Bianca.
Good morning to you all. How are we?
We're good, but you're great. You're super busy. Tell us all about the Ignition Project. It sounds fascinating.
Yeah, super busy, but I think I got used to life as an athlete where every day you're doing something different and it's taking you in all these different directions. And when I decided to finish my playing career, I realised that I had this wealth of knowledge in leadership and about, you know, getting the best out of yourself physically and mentally. And I really just wanted to share that. So myself and my business partner, who's had a lot of experience in sports administration, created the Ignition Project, so an online leadership and personal development program for women and for girls. And it's just something that I love doing. And, you know, when people say if it's your passion, then you don't really feel like you're working. And that's exactly what I feel like at the moment.
Okay. Well, what are the really, really important messages in there?
Well, I think for all of us, it's about that we are in control of a lot of decisions that we do make, so the direction that we want to take. And we've tried to implement a few strategies in there to help you make those decisions and to know that if you put the right support around you, surround yourself with great people and, you know, keep that vision in mind of where you want to get to, that you can do that. And, you know, we cover everything from, you know, communication to how you do kind of set those goals that become achievable and a bit of a holistic approach to it, and also how important it is to not just be super busy and stressed and, you know, trying to do everything, yeah, but make sure you have that balance in your life that I certainly learn about as an athlete, having that balance and putting, giving back to yourself as well and having that time out.
Bianca, as an athlete, it sometimes is really hard, that transition period from being an athlete into everyday real life. So you've had a little bit of time to think about it, but what is some life advice that you wish you'd had when you were starting off your career? Like, what do you know now that you wish you'd known then?
Great question. And I still don't feel like I've 100% on the other side yet. Like the girls, you know, I this is the first preseason I've missed, but also the girls haven't quite started playing yet, so I think I will feel very differently maybe once they start playing. But you know, I just think it's the most important thing is being around who you surround yourself with. So, you know, in your career, you've always got great people looking after you, and we're fortunate as athletes to have that. But then when you're out on your own, you don't necessarily have your doctor that you can call every 2 seconds, or your physio, or the team psych, or the coach, or whoever it is. So for me, I think it's been having those people around me that when I need to talk to somebody, that I have an avenue to do that. And you would know that, Gian, from when you swam, that how incredibly looked after you are as athletes.
Spoilt, I think you mean to
Bianca, say. It's Michelle here, Bianca. How are you going?
I'm great, thank you. Love all your work, Michelle.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm really interested in the transition, as Gian was saying earlier, about moving from an athlete to a real person. What's your training regime and your nutrition schedule looking like now?
Yeah, I always loved the training element of playing. So for me, I've kept going to the gym nearly every day, and normal people say to me, you're crazy, why are you doing that? But for me, training and going to the gym or doing, you know, I love F45, so even doing an F45 class, it's just as much a mental break for me as it is something that's great for me physically.
So you train an hour a day. That's great.
Yeah,
good for you.
Yeah.
And nutrition?
I love trying to be healthy. You obviously can't necessarily say that you do it all the time, but I had glandular fever halfway through my career, and that really taught me how important it was looking after my body and what I put into it. So.
Yeah.
You know, I always try and eat as fresh as I possibly can and make sure when you're travelling around that you've got all that food with you.
Yeah.
Good tip.
All great advice and terrific, particularly. Plenty of young girls will be looking up to you, and that will drive them, motivate them, inspire them. We thank you very much for your time today, Bianca. Lovely to talk to you.
No worries. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. The House of Wellness. Thanks to Metamucil, rediscover your mojo and feel lighter in just 2 weeks. And Bbox, refining the essentials, putting the fun into functional.
Well, every week we like to go through the most interesting health and wellness stories floating around the media. And with social media now and cyberspace, we can get some absolute crackers. I've collected my favourite articles from the week and we just want to go through them. Girls, get your thoughts on these. Our listeners will have thoughts of their own. First of all, researchers have known for a while that there's a link between bad sleep and obesity. They just haven't been sort of able to work out exactly why. Well, the folks at the University of Chicago think they now have the answer or part of the answer. They've discovered that a chemical change can take place in a person's brain when they don't get enough sleep. Now, apparently, it's similar to the effects of cannabis, and they've described it as a kind of marijuana munchies state. That's their words, not mine. So, Michelle, what do you think? Does it surprise you to hear that not getting enough sleep gives you the munchies?
This does not surprise me at all. This is like a common theme that I see, particularly when I'm working with those that are overweight or obese, that they tend to consistently be looking for food to prop them up energy-wise. A lot of the times they don't particularly even eat that much during the day, and then they're on this massive binge through the evening, and then they'll go to bed and even wake up in the middle of the night if they do go to sleep and eat some more, or they'll stay awake doing, you know, mindless things like internet or watching, you know, TV or just sitting on the couch. So this does not surprise me at all. They've often got sleep apnea because of their weight. Many of them are just feeling lethargic and tired and reaching for food to try and prop them up for energy.
Yeah, nothing really surprising in there, John, is there?
Not at all. This is fascinating for me because sleep has played such a huge role in both my career and life after. I love sleep. I could be one of those people that could quite easily have 12 hours sleep a night. Same. If I didn't set an alarm, I would never wake up before 9. I just love it. And it used to really help me as an athlete. I used to get sleepy on the bus on the way to a competition. I would get there, find an exercise mat, set my alarm for 20 minutes, have a nap, and then get up and do my warm-up before competition because that's the best way that my body operated. So sleep has got me out of a lot of difficult situations in my life. Then my son came along. I so understand why sleep deprivation is a form of torture because I was reading here, and when you said it, Larry, about a chemical change can take place in a person's brain, I certainly had a chemical change.
Yeah, right.
Nothing was good, let's just say. Yeah. Nothing was good. But it makes you completely unable to deal with small things in your life. Mm. So I can only imagine what that does to your relationship with food and looking for something to replace that in your life. It is unbelievable. And this is a fantastic study because maybe there can be something to be done about it for people that really struggle with sleep problems and therefore obesity problems.
Mm. Mm. And it explains a lot, it really does. And it's always good to see the University of Chicago holding the research because there are places where you go, okay, the University of Latvia, well, we're not buying that one, but that seems like a good one. Okay, have a listen to this. This is out of Melbourne. An enterprising businessman has come up with a new way to relieve stress. He calls it the break room. This is kind of how it works. They give you a baseball bat and some crockery and you smash it. That's it. That's his new way to relieve stress. It's sort of caveman stuff, really. do you think, Michelle, that this would work?
I love it. I would love to let loose in a room full of crockery with a baseball bat. How much fun would that be? I mean, this really relates back to exercise. It relates back to letting off steam. Yep. You know, it relates back to using your body to, you know, find a sense of calm at the other side. So, you know, it's like boxing, going for a run, breaking a few things with a baseball bat. It totally works for me.
Yeah.
I guess some people get a boxing bag, bag to relieve stress.
Or but their then, boss, but then one of the two.
Yes. please don't hit your boss with a baseball bat.
Should we temper this with, this is really, it's a room that's set up specifically for this. This is not, let's go wild in someone's house.
The Michelle
house.
Bridges this new is, weight loss program, hit your boss with a baseball bat.
I'm really thinking this through now.
Yeah. That's right, it's a specific room.
It's a specific
You've got the safety
room.
Gear on.
I know that a lot of people get a punching bag and then complain that it hurts their knuckles or their hands because they're not used to it or they haven't done any training with it. Whereas this way, baseball bat, there's no pain on your side. It's just pure exercise and stress relief.
Swing, baby,
ticks
swing.
My boxes.
is it a healthy outlet for stress, do you think? Or is it teaching us to be...
The Greeks have been doing it for years.
Yeah.
They smash plates at every opportunity, at weddings and...
Yeah, but they don't do it in the office or at home. They probably do it at a wedding.
I think it's healthy. I'm putting my vote up for healthy. I think if someone wants to have a go at it, what would happen? They're going to start laughing.
In a controlled environment, it's fabulous.
Yeah.
Okay, last one, girls. This one comes all the way from America, but I think there is a lesson to be learned here. Scientists have tested New York subways for germs and found DNA fragments that are, I kid you not, linked to the bubonic plague and anthrax.
Wow.
Now, they're not going to kill you, but they're going to give you sort of skin infections and respiratory problems. Wow. Gianna, are you that kind of person? You travel a lot, right? Are you that sort of hand sanitizer kind of person all the time?
No, I should be. And my mum is. So she's always trying. Every time we go out together, she's the one who's pushing the hand sanitizer on me. And do you need to wash your hands? I'm a little bit more casual about it, although after reading that, maybe I shouldn't be. Yes. I just find that more so since child, I carry around baby wipes everywhere and they fix a myriad of problems. So that's my, rather than the hand sanitizer, but if you get something that's a bit sticky and that way you just wipe it down.
You know, when you're going through the shopping center and the guy in front of you on the escalator is sneezing everywhere, you go, that's by the end of the day, that is going round the world, that thing, Michelle.
Yeah.
I never put my hands on the rails.
Yeah, yeah.
I never open the door with my hand.
I use my
elbow or my jacket. Like, I'm really conscious of that. I just don't want to get sick. Like, I can't afford it. My job, I just can't afford to get sick.
Yeah.
So I'm very conscious.
I do know someone who travels a lot and they actually go around every hotel room that they check into, and the first thing they do is drop their bags, get out their antibacterial wipes and wipe the TV remote.
I heard the TV remote in a hotel room,
and
the dirtiest thing in the world.
And the phone receiver.
That's commitment.
Because the cleaners don't clean those components on a you know, every time someone checks out.
Yeah, wow.
But they're the ones that are most used with other people's hands checking
in. It's true. Like, right. I think we need to be always washing our hands as much as we can.
All right. We're
just putting that out there.
We're going to take a break and smash some plates with a baseball bat right after this.